diverse and disruptive. Just the way we like it on the Easy Does It podcast.
About a year ago, we launched our first basket. So we have 3 baskets currently, and there should be 2 more launching within the next week or so, hopefully. So the first one was, we actually, Justin, young investor, got a bunch of people on Twitter to vote for their favorite 15 shares. Not for the purpose of a basket, just for fun. And then, you know, Choles came, Purple Group CEO, and he's like, turn this into a basket. So it was like all 15 shares that the community really loves. It was like, there was obviously Purple Group there, Renogen, Naspers, ShopRite. Yeah.
But it's a really good basket. There's like 15 different companies from 15 different sectors. It's very well diversified.
Welcome to Easy Does It, a podcast by Easy Equities, where we simplify money and investing. No jargon, no complications. Your cool guide to investing. Easy.
Thank you for pressing play on the Easy Does It podcast, your cool guide to investing. My name is DJ At Large. In this episode, we will be talking about investing with others. And I'm not referring to a stock fell. What I've learned over the years is that the journey to investing can be scary, it can be frustrating, exhilarating, and sometimes it can actually be quite lonely. So we created this podcast to not only educate people, but to encourage dialogue around investing, to demystify it. So just like a book club, imagine an investor club where we come together as friends or family to talk about all things investing. What to consider buying, what is happening in the market, or how to avoid pitfalls. Well, two brothers have been doing exactly this for a couple of years. The last time we had them on the podcast, this was exactly a year ago. It was around June 2022. So the Stubbs twins are back, Justin and Connor. Welcome back to the Easy Does It podcast, gents.
Well, thanks for having us. It's great to be back.
Yeah, I see you guys are styling. You've got ponytails. You guys are looking real cool. You guys doing well?
Yeah, doing great. Market hasn't been too great, but you know, other than that.
So before we talk about investing as brothers and all of that, I've got a random money question as per normal, right? So it's going to be a question for each of you guys. I want to know, what is that one share or ETF that you are holding onto with the hope that it will eventually turn green?
So the one share that I'm currently down in that I hope will turn green is Purple Group. So I was actually up last year. I was up almost 200%. Yeah, it's quite tough.
That's a big fall.
Yeah, it's quite tough to be down right now. But I love the business, and I've done loads of research on the business. Yeah. I know like the back of my hand. And I believe in the long term it'll do great. So that's one that I'm hoping will turn green in the future.
And you, brother? What's it looking like? What are you holding on to hoping it'll eventually turn the corner?
So mine's actually an ETF. The Satrix Divi Plus. So, I mean, ultimately, I did buy the ETF for dividends. But, I mean, it would be great to see some capital growth as well. I think I bought it at a high of like 3 rand something. And now sitting at 2 rand, just over 2 rand. But the dividends are nice. I mean, the last payout wasn't great. But other than that, I just really hope that can turn green eventually.
Yeah, I think we're all holding on to something, hoping that it turns green eventually. So I've got a little bit of a game for you guys before we get into the conversation. It's something I've devised called, can you put your investing faith in a brother? There's 3 questions, right? So I've given each of you guys a pen, I've given you guys a pad. So I've got a question that I'm going to ask you guys, and I want you to sort of guess how your brother would answer this. Right, you guys will write it down, and then we'll do a little bit of a reveal to see if you guys can really put your faith in a brother.
All right.
But because you guys are twins, and I mean, you guys are young, like 20, I'm assuming you guys are, you know, you connected real well.
Yeah, I know. I mean, don't let me down. I won't let you down.
All right, so this is the first question. You guys got your pens, you ready?
All right.
This is the first question. If your brother could only invest in one share, only one share, for the next 10 years, which one would it be?
Come on, Con. This is an easy one. You know, I'm going with an ETF, but I think... Okay, let me not say.
He just shaked his head, so clearly you're off already.
He's letting me down. No, you can't... I don't change your answer, though, but you let me down. Okay, I know you have a bit more risk appetite than me.
Okay, so let's start like this. So, Justin, what do you think Connor's answer would have been?
Well, you said an ETF, so I'm pretty sure he's going to go with the CoreShares Total World ETF.
just because he's boring and likes low risk.
Is he spot on?
No, he's 100%.
Yeah, he's 100% spot on. All right, cool stuff. And what did you write for him?
The same thing. I wrote down Corshares as well.
Corshares as well.
Yeah. I wrote Purple Group.
So you got it wrong.
Yeah.
So there's no connection there. Look at them looking at each other. Why are you looking down?
Wait. So your one would have been Purple Group.
Yeah, I would have chosen Purple Group.
So you wrote down I see.
I thought you would have said Purple Group, but you let me down.
Dude, you love your risk. We're talking about someone that invested in a Veng at one point. No shots fired, but
it's clear that you cannot put your investing faith in a brother. But we've got a second question to try it out, right? So you guys ready? Okay, so this is the next one. Which of these shares is your brother less likely to invest in? EC10, Sasol, Sibanye, and Renegen. So which of these shares is your brother less likely to invest in? EC10, Sasol, Sibanye, or Renegen? Yeah. You guys are looking very confident.
Yeah, no, that was a quick one.
Right, cool. So Justin?
I said Sasol. I said Sasol as well.
So you guys are both on the same page. Yeah, you guys would have both.
Let's go, guys.
Listen, I like that. I like that. You guys recovered real nicely. So we've got one more, right? So this is the next one. Which share or ETF does your brother regret owning the most? Hey, look at them thinking. Whoa.
I know Justin has a lot of regrets. That's the thing.
But the one regret.
But for you, that's a tough one. Yo, I'm actually not sure. But there's one that I know you lost a lot of money on. So
take that risk. Okay, so let's do a little bit of a reveal.
Okay, well, I wrote down a Veng.
Is he spot on?
Yeah, it's probably right with a Veng. I wrote down CrowdStrike.
And?
CrowdStrike. I think you mean Cloudflare.
Did you not own Crowd?
I didn't own CrowdStrike, but I did own Cloudflare.
Yeah, that's the one.
I wouldn't say that's my biggest regret, but
it's one of them.
It's
definitely
one of them, yeah.
I guess that's what investing is about. Sometimes you lose, sometimes you win. But thank you guys so much for playing with us. I think there is some sort of a connection. You guys did well. Did quite well.
Wait, what would you say is your biggest regret? The one share?
Look, I've made a lot of mistakes where I've invested in hype. I think you've done the same. Yeah. I think I'm going to go with Renegen on this one. Although they've done quite... Look, I love Renegen. I do. I think I just got carried away. A lot of people were talking about the share, and I was like,
it was trending, it was hype.
And I learned my lesson. You know, I was buying at what, 35, 36 rand, and now it's like 20 rand a share. So,
We all make those investing mistakes. So investing as brothers is something that not many people do, right? Even investing as friends. I think what sparked the idea for you guys to sort of invest together, not necessarily, you know, one account, but you guys talk a lot about investing. Where did that come about? And maybe you guys can take us back to the journey of starting with investing.
Yeah, so we both started at the same time. We were going through like some financial problems with in the family, and we wanted a way out of that. And investing was a long-term solution for getting out of it. So it's just something that we're going to do forever. But we started together with twins. We do mostly everything together, like our whole lives. So I think when we started investing, we both started learning about it together. We started, So I think that's just how it started, and it's probably where it's going as well.
What would you guys say is the benefit of investing together and talking about various stocks and investor jargon and oil? What's the benefit of having those regular check-ins?
Okay, well, the benefit, is especially with like a sibling or someone that you know quite well, is that you know them. Like, you're not afraid to... say your opinion, you're not afraid to disagree or agree. And I think that kind of sparks more of a interest. I don't know, like, you kind of go into an environment where you are prepared to learn. It opens the environment where you're both comfortable to ask questions, get proven wrong, or have your say, you know. And I think also, like, my brother will randomly come up to me and be like, yo, Con, do you want to go brainstorm? And usually that means like, do you want to research some shares? That's my favorite thing in the whole world, is just researching shares. It's like therapy to me, just diving into annual reports. And I think that's one of the easiest ways to learn about a company as well, is just to go on their website and read their annual reports. So that's helped a lot. Yeah,
there's lots of benefits to it, but I want to talk about the risks of investing together. This one's specifically for Connor. I mean, are there any risks in investing together? Maybe you guys clash. Maybe you guys have a little bit of, you know, where you both see the share the same way, and sometimes you need somebody outside that sees a little bit different. I mean, what are the risks to investing together?
Okay, so straight off the bat, like, we're two different people, of course. So we might be twins, yes. but we both have two very different risk appetites, like we've mentioned a few times already. You know, Justin's time horizon is similar to mine, but if you weren't siblings, I mean, if you weren't twins, you probably would have different time horizons. Mm. If you're investing with someone else, you might not have the same goals and the same financial needs, you know. So I think that's definitely one of the risks, is that we might not be on the same page all the time. And in terms of shares, because we have two very different risk appetites, my brother will be very keen to, you know, invest in a share that could easily go down 80% within the next month, with the potential to get like 1,000% returns. Like, he's prepared to do that, whereas I don't think I would be able to sleep at night, you know.
I see. Justin, I mean, how often do you guys talk about investing? Is this the type of thing you wake up in the morning and you're ready, there's a share in your mind? I mean, how often do you guys have these types of chats?
Yeah, so we talk about investing a lot. Like, I think more than we should, actually. So we have our Twitter accounts.
Yeah.
And those are for, like, educating people in South Africa about investing. We're always thinking about stuff to post on there, and it's always investing related. So we talking to each other about what can we post, different like concepts, or we always researching stuff. And then with friends, I would say like every few weeks. We've definitely influenced our friends with investing. I think a few years ago they would never ever speak about investing, but now we, like, especially our close friends, we often speak about like our favorite stocks and why they think we think it's a good investment, or why it's undervalued, or so with our friends quite often, but with each other every day.
I don't think he's being fully honest. I think you can't really take him anywhere without him talking about shares and investing in Easy Equities.
That's true. Like, I don't know, there's just something about Easy Equities. When I go out anywhere, if I meet someone new, I'm like, do you go on Easy Equities ever? And then they'll say no, and I'll like try and get them on it
and spark that conversation with them. Have you guys ever had conflicting opinions on a specific share in ETF?
Yeah, well, first one that comes to mind for me is Meta. So it was way back when they first announced like all the investments into the metaverse, and they were splashing billions, and I think management kind of lost it a little bit, lost their way. And Justin thought differently, and I'm not afraid to admit it, but I think he might have made the right choice, because it did go down a lot. I think their share price went way, way, way down. And then Justin just like, nah, I think there's money to be made here. And now he's finally back in the green for a while now. He's made some money. So I think he did make a right call.
Okay. So it does happen that you guys sometimes clash and you're like, you know, not really agreeing on this specific one. Okay, cool. That's really, really cool. One of the interesting things I like to ask investors is, do you guys spend on what you invest in? So you find somebody likes Apple products and now they want to invest in Apple. Is that something that you guys do? And then maybe we can also speak a bit about your individual strategies.
Well, the two shares I own on Zara, the Easy Equities Zara account, Purple Group. Of course, I'm always using Easy Equities. They can have my money, bro. You know, I'm so happy to buy
anytime they can have your money.
I'm so happy to buy shares and take their brokerage fees. It's fine. Like, I love them. So that, and then also ShopRite, one of my favorite businesses in the whole world. I really, really love them. So the family that we stay with, they often use the Checkers 6060.
Okay.
Yeah, so they often go to Checkers, and if I do need to go shopping, I usually go to Checkers as well. So
And there's something about walking into the store and knowing that you own a piece.
Yeah.
It might be a little tile, but you own something within there, which I think is really, really interesting.
Yeah, no, I think it's like, oh yeah, this might show on your bottom line, even if it's 0.00001%.
Yeah, and Justin, on your side, I mean, do you invest, you know, in the things that you own?
Well, it's not really part of the strategy to be like, oh, I use this, so I'm going to go and invest in it. I think it just kind of happened. Like, I also own Purple Group, and I use Easy Equities for all my investing. And then the other one is Meta that I've spoken about. I use WhatsApp, Facebook, Instagram almost every day.
Yeah.
So that's just another one. But that's, I just love the businesses. It's not because I use them, it just kind of happened like that. But yeah, my strategy, I would say I try and keep it simple.
Yeah.
Like Connor says, I have high risk, but it's because I think my time horizon is so long, I can afford to be a bit riskier. Just long term. So I own about 5 shares on my portfolio, 2 in my ZAR account, and then 3 in my US. And then I have 1 ETF in my tax-free savings account.
Okay.
And that does all my diversifying for me. It's the Core Shares Total World one. I love that because it's so, it's like the whole world. So yeah, it's just long term. Every month I just invest money into those.
I like that you've simplified it. I think sometimes people overcomplicate their portfolios and their strategies. So I like that it's quite streamlined. What tips do you guys have to encourage other listeners to start having these types of conversations about investing with their friends, with their family members? Justin, do you want to maybe take it first?
Well, I think it is quite tough in like certain households. It's tough. Like, I know we still can't really speak to our mom about money or investing. Like, it's quite uncomfortable. So it's not easy. It won't be easy for some people. But if you, with your friends, if your family's open to it, just talk about like, oh, you've invested in this and you think it's going to be a good investment and why. And then maybe they'll show some interest in it as well. And they want to know more and why you're doing that. And then they could start. But yeah, it's quite tough.
Well, yeah, I think if you can like develop like a deep passion for the subject as well, I think that helped with you and I, because like we said earlier, Justin can't take him anywhere without him talking about investing, and people kind of get forced to listen to him. I mean, we've had friends come to us and be like, can we just not talk about investing for 5 minutes
and talk about something else?
Yeah, so I think if you just keep talking about it, I think people, they kind of naturally gravitate towards you, and then they're like, yeah, I want to get involved, I want to learn. But like my brother said as well, some people just really aren't comfortable with the conversation about money. I think there is a solution to it. I think if you just keep going, you know, just keep hammering them, like invest or talking about shares or talking about saving, anything, just to get them to ease up a little bit. You know, at the end of the day, I think we don't want people to be so uncomfortable talking about money, because then the problem is always going to be there. One of the other things I think really, really helps. So in the past, we've actually created a bit of a investing club, I guess you could call it, where we pull money together and then we all invest, and then kind of research shares together. You know, we have strict rules, like we're gonna go, these are the kind of shares we want, this is the type of research we're looking for, and then everyone will like chip in and be like, yeah, it's a kind of like a stock fold before long-term investing, right? And I think that creates like a really, really nice environment where people can learn. You know, you're all doing research, you're all having the experience, which I think the best way to learn is ultimately to do it. So I think that is probably one of the best ways to get other people to start as well. It's just, you know, just maybe pull some money together and invest in shares together.
Yeah. I asked my girlfriend actually like a few days ago what made her start, because I always speak about investing. Yeah. So I wanted to know what made her, like, what did I say that influenced her to start? And I think this could actually be very useful here. If you just speak to people about their long-term financial goals, like where do you want to be in when you're 40 or 50? And then, yeah, like, what do you want to retire early? How are you going to get there? And then you start to speak about investing. And I think, so you just got to really think about their goals and how they can get there and how investing can help you do that. I think that inspired her to start her Easy Equity. And yeah, I think that could help other people.
Also thinking back to how we also got involved, I think we also read a book or two. And I know not a lot of people don't like reading, but those that do like reading, they might want to read like a novel or two. But if you're interested, maybe just try and pick up a finance book or two. Like Rich Dad Poor Dad is a very good one. I know it gets a lot of hate sometimes, but I think it does enough to get people started.
Yeah, my favorite is Global Investing Made Easy by Warren Ingram.
Yeah, that one's a fantastic book.
Yeah, it's so simple, and like there's no jargon. Everyone can understand that. And that one really helped me. Like,
it makes it a lot more simple.
It simplified the process for me. Yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, when it comes to money and investing and having those conversations, it's quite complex. You know, families are different. Some families don't talk about money. There's also a lot of misconceptions around money and investing, and there's fear and there's jargon, and it seems super complicated. And I think one of the things we've done really well on the Easy Does It podcast is to bring different people from different backgrounds with different stories, those that are succeeding at investing, those that are failing at investing. We've brought wealth psychologists. We have all types of people. And there's some people who are going to be listening to this episode and they've never heard of the Stubbs twins. And one of the reasons we have you guys here is that you guys are super, super young, which I think shows that whether you're old or young, irrespective of who you are, you can start this investing journey. So for those who have never heard about who you guys are, where are you guys on social media? What do you guys like to talk about there? And I know you guys also have a basket as well, if I'm correct. So maybe you guys can touch on that and then we can wrap things up.
Connor speaking now, Gen Z investor on Twitter, Gen Z Investor 4. Started that account, I think, on Wednesday or Thursday. Was actually like my 2-year anniversary on Twitter. I got a nice little notification, made me quite happy. But yeah, so what I'm doing there, ultimately the goal is to educate people and get people to start. So yeah, you'll see me posting about different companies, trying to tell my followers a little bit about the companies. I like to give a little bit of information too, like top revenue generating shares in South Africa or dividend yields, all of that kind of stuff. But I'll always try add a little description of each business so that people can learn, because I feel like if you don't do that, people see that and then they just go buy the shares without doing research. So I think if you add some research there, at least they can do a little bit of research.
I'm Justin. On Twitter, I'm younginvestor03. So I started my account about 2.5 years ago as well. Well, for me, when I started was I'm going to go and share what I've learned from investing and like share it with other people. Because I know in the community, there's a lot of like gatekeeping and people don't really want other people to make money and they don't want to teach them about investing for some reason. So I hate that. And I just, for me, my Twitter is all about like sharing this with people and eliminating all jargon. Like, for example, the other day I made a post, it was the difference between ETFs and...
I think it was unit trust, right?
And unit trust, yeah. And it's just a description of each of them, like examples. There's no jargon. That's basically what you can expect from me. It's stuff like that.
Yeah, can you guys just tell us a bit about the basket as well?
Okay, so about a year ago, we launched our first basket. So we have three baskets currently, and there should be two more launching within the next week. Or so, hopefully. So the first one was, we actually, Justin, young investor, got a bunch of people on Twitter to vote for their favorite 15 shares. Not for the purpose of a basket, just for fun. And then, you know, Choles came, Purple Group CEO, and he was like, turn this into a basket. So it was like all 15 shares that the community really loves. It was like, there was obviously Purple Group there, Renogen, Naspers, ShopRite. Yeah.
But it's a really good basket. Yeah. There's like 15 different companies from 15 different sectors. It's very well diversified.
So we track the performance of them. So as soon as the basket launches, we put it into Excel and we track it. And last time I checked, that basket particularly was doing very well. It was outperforming the market. Yeah, so surprisingly enough, because people, you know, they don't think retail investors can actually do their research. But like that basket was purely made by retail investors and it's actually done better than the market, you know, like they outperformed the market. So that was actually pretty interesting. And we got two other baskets currently, the monthly dividend baskets. So there's one on the ZAR account, there's one on the USD account. Yo, there's been quite challenging those two baskets because, you know, shares, sometimes they declare dividends, sometimes they don't. And we don't really have that much leeway to change stuff because obviously we're not licensed. But yeah, so far so good. They've served their purpose. And then the two that we're launching now, you know,
These ones we're really excited about. They're pretty cool.
I think a lot of people will like them. So the first one is a basket of shares that generate revenue or a portion of their revenue from outside South Africa. Because so they're South African
bit of
shares.
Exposure, yeah.
Yeah, South African shares, but a lot of the revenue comes from outside South Africa. There's really small companies. We're talking like 200 million market cap. And you know, for a listed company, that's very small. Then we got all the way up to the big dogs like Investec and so on.
Okay.
Yeah, so my favorite one, well, not my favorite, I think the most exciting one is Trellidor. That's the 200 million rand share. I was actually surprised to learn that they generate 15% of their revenue from outside South Africa. And, you know, the South African market hasn't been too good for most shares. You know, there's load shedding. We have all our problems. But nonetheless, we all love investing in South Africa. Like, everyone loves this ZAR account. I think it's everyone's favorite account. So we're trying to make it a bit less risky, I guess. And then, Justin, I don't know if you want to talk about the other basket.
So then the last basket that we're adding is for the US account. It's called the American Recurring Revenue Basket. So one of our favorite things when we research stocks is the revenue, because obviously revenue is growth, and we want to see that increasing every year. So this basket is just basically for stocks that have, its majority of their revenue is recurring. So it's mostly subscription stocks like Netflix, Adobe, Microsoft. Yeah, it's very exciting. I love this basket. It should be launching soon. It's basically because it's one of our like favorite things to look for when we research a stock.
So some people see it as an economic moat, meaning like a nice competitive advantage to have that recurring revenue. So I think it is a cool idea, and I think most shares could potentially do well. We'll track all of them, of course, see how they do. But I think most of them will do well.
Yeah, so lots of exciting things coming through. And of course, people can also follow you guys on Twitter. Thank you guys so much, Circle of Investors and Brothers, Justin and Connor, for joining us on the Easy Does a Podcast, your cool guide to investing.
Thank you for pressing play on the Easy Does It podcast. A big shout out to you for hanging out with us. Don't forget to subscribe. We are on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Let us know what you think of this episode on Twitter and Insta. Our handle is @EasyEquities.